Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL, and folks, hopefully you're enjoying today. Today is, you know, we're celebrating Juneteenth, which is, of course, a really, really big deal, especially when you consider the ramifications of how devastating slavery has been for many, many regions of the world, specifically this country. And the abolishment of it could not be understated. The importance of the abolishment of this could not be stated any larger than it currently is. And of course, most people are off today, observing today. And it's an incredibly important day. So thank you if you have taken the time from your day off to kind of hang out with us. But listen, folks, before we get to Dave, before we get to Crazy Lou, we got to get to Fuzzy Velveteer. Folks, this is making his debut on camera. Fuzzy Velveteer, look at this handsome man. What's up, brother? How you feeling?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to be here with you guys. Figure I'd get my setup finally, taken care of. But you may see a cat wandering in the background behind me, so I do apologize.
But hey, listen, the cats, dogs, hamsters, fish, they're all part of the family. So if they're floating around or wandering around, that is perfectly there. But listen, how the heck are you, man? Welcome.
Doing great. Playing a lot of Diablo. Still on an all-time high from the Xbox showcase, and glad that we got to see some Forza, some Starfield. But yeah, we got a lot to get into.
Yeah, we're going to have a great show. We're going to be here for the next 90 minutes, folks. We have amazing topics. Before anyone asks, folks, this is Shadow Warrior 3 Definitive Edition. You can download it right now on Xbox Game Pass. And my goodness, I got to tell you, I cannot believe how freaking good this game is. It is Doom Eternal great. Not even good. It is phenomenally great. I cannot believe how gory, how fast-paced. It is hilarious. If you haven't played this game, you probably should download it. I have a download on the Asus ROG Ally. So when I play it on portable mode, or I play it with the controller, or when I'm playing on my big screen, as I'm doing now recording footage, you definitely should play this game if you are someone that appreciates lots of guns, lots of gore, and lots of big explosions, a la Doom. But Crazy Lou Gaming, what's going on, brother? How you feeling,
man? I'm feeling great. Happy to join you guys today, since last week we couldn't be on. I'm just happy that you're feeling better, Boo.
Oh, thank you, brother. Yes, yeah, thank man. You
but hey, feeling great, happy to be here, and let's get the show on the road, because we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Lots of fun.
We actually gonna have a lot of fun today. We have three monster topics, one mini topic that just actually reeked, that just dropped onto social media. Of course, we're going to talk about Tango Gameworks announcing that 5,000 players have picked up a controller, downloaded, and played Ghostwire Tokyo. We'll get to that in a hot second, though. But Web Dave, good morning, brother. A bit chaotic for yesterday's show, but I'm glad it all worked out. How you feeling?
I'm doing really good. Yeah, real life happens. So we had three guests scheduled. One couldn't make it, family emergency, that happens. One could only be on for a first hour. The other one didn't get on to the second hour. So it all worked out, though. We have a full show. It's actually a really, really good show, an entertaining one. So definitely get a chance to check that out. Plus, also, we had the interview that I did with Red Dead Panda drop today. Already up to 60 views on that one. So I'm pretty happy with that. And she's a really interesting cat. Lots of stuff you find out. Like, I didn't know she had a twin sister, an identical twin sister.
Interesting.
Amazing. Yeah.
Nice. See that? And that's what you get with your one-on-one videos. Somehow, Dave, you're a fantastic interviewer. And the way that you conduct yourself, on how the questions, people just seem to kind of gravitate towards you, and things come out that you don't expect in a gaming podcast, as what happened with me. You get into the real minutia of who the person is behind the scenes. And that's what we love about what you do, brother. But good morning and welcome. Well, good afternoon now. Folks, listen. As I was saying moments ago, it was announced by Tango Gameworks, folks, that they have now officially could put in the books. There have been 5 million players that have downloaded Ghostwire Tokyo. This is a tremendous accomplishment. And I say that because this was originally exclusive for the PlayStation 5. It stayed exclusive for an entire year. released on the 12th of April on Xbox Game Pass. Also, at the same time, jumped into the PlayStation service as well. I played it. It's one of my favorite games of the year, easily one of my favorite games of the year. And this is coming off a studio that surprised and dazzled the entire gaming verse with Hi-Fi Rush in January. And if you consider that no one basically knew who Tango Gameworks were other than Evil Within, this is a tremendous accomplishment. Fuzzy, I'll start with you, brother. This is, again, not the biggest story of the day for sure, but it's a story worthy of our conversation, because I was saying to Dave in the green room, I think what we're seeing here is the evolution of one of the best studios that are a part of XGS that no one really knows exists.
Yeah. I think it's a pleasant surprise. Like, originally when Bethesda was acquired, no one really paid attention to them. And then Hi-Fi Rush dropped. Now, was it Deathloop as well as Ghostwire Tokyo were, you know, nice games over on the PS5 before they came over to Xbox. But Deathloop was nominated for awards and won some awards as far as for the main character and audio and I think game design or something along those lines. But yeah, Ghostwire Tokyo, it has that almost like what everybody looking forward to Avowed. It almost has a similar type of setup with elemental powers that you have with the hand gestures and things like that. So there's a lot of appeal to it. It's a little bit of a different take compared to like their previous genre as far as horror is concerned. They were doing more like a Resident Evil style game prior or like a Silent Hill prior, but this one was like a nice blend of other Japanese folklore as far as some of the horror elements that they have. But to have 5 million players touch that game, that's awesome. And I don't think they reached that number or anywhere close to that number when it was just on the PS5. I think they may have hit just under 2 mil. So it looks like a lot of it came after it came over to Xbox with the updates and things like that. They added more content to it. They've been supporting it as far as more localization for other regions. And yeah, Tango Gameworks is now becoming one of those studios that everybody kind of underestimated, much like Double Fine and even Ninja Theory. But I think people are learning now the capabilities and the variety of talent that they have to be able to come up with different types of games and things.
Yeah, it's for me, as someone that appreciate games that don't always follow the beaten path with the way that they're designed and the way that their stories are told, for me, this is very exciting. Like I said, I said it before, and I'm happy to say it again. One of my favorite games of the year comes the way of a game that I did not play on the PlayStation 5 because I knew it was coming to Xbox Game Pass. And at the time, there were a lot of games out. So I was like, you know, I'll just wait. Folks, I'm here to tell you that if you did not play this game this year, it should be in your at least the next set of backlog games you should play. I put over 50 hours into it because I go here, there, and everywhere. It's an open world game with, with stylized and FPS graphics. And obviously it has a lot of homage to the way Doctor Strange moves his hands. There's even been some talk where people were like, yeah, they should have used this team to help with Avowed. That's how good the hand movements and the magic is. But we're going to get into Avowed because there's been a lot of controversy behind this. And we've gotten some updates, which I'm very happy to say that. Why is anyone doubting Obsidian? I don't know. The last five games that they've had have been all above 80 meta. It is. And I have, again, I went when I was, at my follow-up appointment from last week's escapade to, to take some pictures of what they've done in the last five games. And everything has been 80 plus. So I don't understand why there is any doubt to how great Avowed is going to be. But Dave, let's get your hot take on this. 5 million players for Ghostwire Tokyo, a game a lot of people did not play, but probably should.
Oh, yeah. It's great, man. I've tried it out. I liked it. I really didn't complete it, but I did play it a little bit. I liked it, what I played of it. But that's why they make different games for different people. It's not for everybody. But I mean, they do good work, and so I'm excited to hear where it's ranked at, and that people are enjoying it, because, like I said, it gives them the opportunity to stretch creatively and to hopefully you know, continue to work on some great games, because you know, they're a good company, they're really good at what they do, a good design team, and that's what we want some kind of fresh ideas, you know, and take a chance kind of stuff. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to see a studio that was only known for horror. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, Ghostwire Tokyo is J-horror at its absolute finest. And they do a really good job of keeping that horror element, but making it more action-based, as opposed to, like, say, the Evil Within 1 and 2. Now, I never got into Evil Within 1, per se. But I absolutely destroyed Evil Within 2. Again, that year was one of my favorite games because obviously I'm such a Resident Evil fan. I should have loved the first one. For some reason, it didn't resonate with me. But I think one day I'm going to pick it up and play through it and see what I was missing, because 2 is just phenomenal. So, of course, I'm looking forward to 3. But it's great to see something so different come out of a team that's known for horror. And Crazy Lou, you know, when you look at this, this is, again, you know, Hi-Fi Rush, a music rhythm game. They're currently, apparently, according to rumors, working on an anime-based RPG. And if you look at the work that they're doing, it's every time they pick up and they start work on a game, it's something different. Now, we're going to get Evil Within 3. There's no doubt about it. But Ghostwire Tokyo hitting 5 million plays is tremendous. What are your thoughts?
I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. I mean, because it was new. I have not played it yet, but after hearing people, you know, talking about it and people telling me their experience, they said, hey, this game is loads of fun. And it's new for them because we've seen them with Evil Within, and now they jump into first-person mode with Ghostwire Tokyo. And look, and then they jump on to a totally different game called Hi-Fi Rush, which I am actually right now playing it, having a lot of fun with that game. I mean, I love Hi-Fi Rush. It's a lot of fun. And yeah, after Hi-Fi Rush, man, I'm gonna be jumping to that Ghostwire Tokyo, because hey, I mean, I gotta play it on here so people can watch me be scared, you know. So yeah, if it's a horror game, I'm gonna jump to it. And man, super happy to hear that they actually made this accomplishment, because I wasn't expecting that from that game, really. I wasn't. I mean, I saw it, I was like, oh, it looks cool. But after hearing people talk about it, you know, when people go on to, you know, explaining, you know, how the game is, and I just love how, you know, it's all like magic stuff. It's different, you know, and it's something that people, you know, is starting to make games like this using magic and using spells and using all that cool stuff. So I'm really happy that they went, you know, out of what they're used to doing and made this game. And man, really, I just, I want to hop into it. Just hearing 5 million players that texts me more and tells me, hey, you need to jump on this game and be a part of those 5 million players.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, the game is, like, for me, I'm a map gamer, right? Like, I like big maps. I like a lot of things to do. I like systematically taking care of things in said region, destroying said region, and only having to come back to the region if there's something that opens up later on in the story. That's exactly how I took down a Ghostwire. That's why I spent over 50 hours into it, because I think you could probably beat the game probably around 20, 25 hours, give or take, if you're going to straight shot it. I don't play games like that. I play games to be invested in the character, to be invested in the lore. I like doing a lot of things. So for me, it was right up my alley. If you are someone that appreciates Assassin's Creed level things to do on a map, if you have not played this game, I ask that you put it into your wheelhouse of things to play next. And again, you know, there's so much coming out this year, and forget about it. Starfield is going to be a life stealer. It's crazy because Starfield is, I think it was 78 days away, which I think I saw the Starfield counter on Twitter. And I just, all I want to do is play Starfield, and I haven't even played it yet, which is bonkers. But we're going to get into that tomorrow specifically, because I'm very privileged to say that outside of the incredible show that we have already planned for you on the Xbox Factor podcast tomorrow at 12, we're having Skullzy TV, literally Mr. Bethesda himself, going to get his hot take on the show. Maybe, just maybe, even some secret sauce behind what's going on. Maybe because, you know, he has friends in Bethesda. He always gets the hot take because he does incredible videos, which I think he put one up yesterday on Father's Day. We're going to be talking to him as well as, of course, the crew over at the Xbox Factor podcast. But, folks, I want to move on to a topic. This one is, I'm excited for this because I'm a BioShock fan. But I think that we are doing Clockwork Revolution an incredible disservice by just comparing it to BioShock. Now, I say that with absolute respect because BioShock is an OG classic through and through. But what we saw was an absolute surprise. And talk about closing out the Xbox Games Showcase with what is considered to be not only a AAA banger of an IP, it's a new IP, and it's from InXile. And if you are familiar with InXile, they have a significant amount of talent. They have a lot of history with Fallout. Obviously, they have the lifeblood. They originally made Fallout 1 and 2. You know, so, I mean, we know that they quote-unquote could be working on a remake of the original isometric versions of Fallout 1 and 2, which would be dope. But, you know, there's been a lot of question, guys, of, well, what is Clockwork Revolution? Why should anyone care? I mean, can we simply say, well, it's kind of like a BioShock clone? I don't think so. So I pulled a bunch of quotes from several of the team members that are working on the game. And one of which is Chad Moore. He is the game director over at InXile working on Clockwork Revolution. And the way he explained the game was, narrative is the lifeblood of an unforgettable RPG. This is just the beginning with, of course, he's talking about Clockwork Revolution. And what's interesting is he's referring to who Lady Ironwood is. And she is obviously the antagonist of the game. And this is what he goes on to say about who she is. The ruthless ruler of Avalon has created this reality through surgically precise changes that she has made in the past, bringing herself immense power and wealth built on the shoulders of a struggling working class. But how you correct the timeline will be entirely up to you. And I think that that sentence is pretty incredible, because I think that everyone's story might be different based on your personal choices. And I think that's something that we're starting to see is going to be very apparent in a game like Starfield, right? And I love that when we are going to have these water cooler moments, you know, Crazy Lou is going to tell me a story about, you know, he did this, and Dave is going to say, well, I did it this way, and this is what happened. And I'll come in along with, Fuzzy, and we might have similar stories, Fuzzy and I, but they're not going to be identical. And I think when you consider that, that's storytelling at its absolute finest, and that gets me super excited for Clockwork Revolution. But it goes on to say, Fuzzy, that Clockwork Revolution pushes role-playing reactivity to a new height. The choices you make on your trips into the past will change the people, the stories, and the city of Avalon itself in extraordinary ways and very often unexpected ways. Like, first of all, we knew that they were working. Well, we didn't know. We had heard a rumor, Fuzzy, that they were working on a first-person shooter that was tailored around, of course, this type of steampunk-esque kind of storytelling. When you hear everything that what they're doing to this game, man, where did your hype level fall for Clockwork Revolution?
It's way up there, primarily because of the time travel aspect and having the consequences based on some of your actions. There's some cool, like, steampunk is a cool aesthetic in the game anyway, so let's just put that out there first. But, like, seeing the guy with the red carpet, like, with robots having it roll around and stuff instead of him walking on the streets like regular people was pretty fun. But I would say it... there's the potential for like normal RPG elements of the game, but then your choices when you go back in time. The only question I have now is like, if you do screw up, because it looks like even in the trailer, they're like, what have I done? Or something like that after he went back in time before that big robot was about to attack him. I'm wondering if you can go back even further to correct the mistake you made before, or to stop yourself from making that mistake or something. So I could see like endless time loops and things like that as far as trying to adjust the story. But just the potential or the I guess the unlimitedness of being able to adjust how that town or store or the whole world in that story is formed, being able to go back and forth in time is going to be pretty cool. And I don't think there's, I mean, other than when we had Quantum Break, I don't think there's a decent game, time traveling game out there. So having
the last one like that I played prior to that was Singularity.
Yeah.
Which that studio might become first party after. And if you didn't play Singularity on the 360, it's almost a crime that you didn't play it. But more importantly, we didn't get a sequel.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that gets corrected after the ABK deal goes through. But the Clockwork Revolution, and I have to stop myself from saying Clockwork Orange every time, but
you're not the only person I've seen that mistake.
the look of the game, the concept itself, and just imagine being able to have not just your normal RPG choices, but being able to possibly go back in time or forward in time to see what the consequences or the effects are and make adjustments accordingly. So you might think you're having a blast as far as going through the story. And it's like, well, the guy that you wind up killing was the one that winds up helping you save your life or one of your companions' lives later on in the game or something. So it's like, you have to, I guess, be very mindful of your decisions in that game, but just the look, steampunk, they sold me on the game at just having steampunk and first person shooter. Now having the time travel aspect really turned it up a few notches.
Yeah. I mean, listen, what could you say? This, I think the best compliment I could possibly have for In Exile is this, at least for me, was unbelievably unexpected. Not because they don't have the talent to do it, Fuzzy. It's because first of all, they're RPG masters, but the last couple of RPGs, they weren't so much for me per se. This is definitely for me. I cannot wait. And I will say this, it's pretty impressive when you can have a conversation about a studio and their next game. And in that conversation, be compared to, just based on what we saw, to something as legendary as BioShock. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. What they did with BioShock and BioShock 2 even more so has yet to be even challenged. And this looks like one of those games that actually might give it a run for its money and then be in a conversation all by itself by the time you consider that it's a first-person shooter. It's an action first-person shooter with big graphics, AAA, behemoth level development. It's going to have time travel. And on top of time travel, it's going to be steampunk narrative. I mean, it's checking all the boxes, left, right, and center. Crazy Lou Gaming, based on what, obviously In Exile and the team working at Clockwork have put out there, I'm even more interested, for the game even before, just based on what we saw, but now I'm all in. What about you?
I'm going to tell you something, man. Time travel and it's going to change the future. Can you imagine me create my own town the way I just want to make it? I'm in a crazy Louis town. Can you guys imagine that? I mean, that would be insane that I could change my town, make it the way I want it, you know, change history, change all that stuff, man, and just do it the way I want to do it. Oh, man, I'm super psyched about this game. I just love the idea about time traveling. I love the idea that when everybody saw this, they got the BioShock effect. I mean, BioShock is such a cool game, such an awesome game. I played it. I have never beaten it because that's shame on me. I mean, I should get spanked for that. But yes, that BioShock effect and all that stuff, man. Ooh, just watching that game and everything. Ooh, my God, especially the time travel. That time travel is going to be freaking awesome. Just going back, you know, doing stuff to change the future. And, man, wow. I think that game is just going to be insane. And for me, I'm going to tell you something. That could be a GOTY nomination because, hey, man, they're actually doing something different, too. They're taking a risk here. They're taking a big step here with something totally different than what they're used to doing because, hey, like what Boom said before about, you know, the games they made, like, for example, Wasteland. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Wasteland. I tried it, but it just wasn't my thing.
Just not my game. Yeah.
Just not my game. Yeah. So hearing that they took a risk and went this mode, you know, for first person mode, action, RPG style type of game. Oh, man, I'm totally in for it. I can't wait just to see and hear more about it.
Yeah. It's one of those titles that were, at least for me, incredibly unexpected. And when you consider they opened with Fable, right? Obviously, we saw first party was there in such a magnanimous way. Wow, and then, of course, they closed the show because the last couple of times that they've closed shows, they've done it third party, which, you know, a lot of people don't like. You know, you want to show off your own wares. This is Xbox first party. And you know what's even more insane, Dave? This game never sees the light of day unless, of course, InXile is purchased and added to Xbox Game Studios, like many studios before, Ninja Theory being one of them. Remember, they were literally robbing Peter to pay Paul to finish these games. And now under Microsoft, they can take that creative risk that sometimes a lot of smaller studios cannot take because, obviously, game development is expensive as all H. Where does your excitement personally fall for what we've seen with Clockwork Revolution, but more importantly, the new information that we have?
Well, I'm a big fan of BioShock, all the BioShock games, and the aspect of the, I guess, you know, going through time and what you do has an effect on time, and you're able to, I believe, jump back and forth. And can, you know, depending on what you do in one area, change another, which not only changes the future, but it can change the past too when you do that. Yeah. So that's like it sounds like fun, man. It sounds like a blast. I love steampunk type stuff. It's always been cool. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's something we're gonna have a lot of fun with. And it's on my radar of games to play. It was probably in the top five anticipated after watching the showcase of games that I wanted to know more about or you know, on the list of games to want to play. And you know, it's coming to Game Pass, so yeah, that's a good thing. Love it.
Well, I mean, obviously the more we see AAA development of this quality, regardless of how long it takes, like you know, I love how that when specifically people are asking, like right at the end, what, you know, when the release is coming, and in due time. And obviously that's made, you know, reference to actual time that corresponds with the time travel. I think we're getting into a realm, ladies and gentlemen, if you're an Xbox fan, that they literally have so many games in active development that I say this with absolute full respect to the team that worked on Redfall. I understand it fell short of expectations, both internally and obviously with the community. I make no apologies that I put over 50 hours in. I beat the game. I loved every second of it. But as an actual, you know, podcaster, I can't lie for the game. The game had a significant amount of shortcomings, a lot of which, and performance mode being, you know, one of the big ones. It's a first-person shooter, no 60 frames. It was a bit of a drag. Now, did it bother me? No, it didn't. But I still wish it would have had the mode that offered the player choice. And when you take choice away, this is what happens. Well, I think I can confidently say, gentlemen, and of course, chat, which we have over 400 people here. So thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us today. That Redfall, and I say should, because I have unbelievable confidence in Xbox Game Studios, Redfall should be the last blip that we see for the significant future. And I say that because, as you heard Matt Booty and you heard Phil Spencer during that Giant Bomb interview with Jeff Grubb, that they are hitting a cadence that is going to be the one per quarter that they had predicted or they had told us that was going to happen. But the quality at these games that are going to be releasing one per quarter are going to be what we expect as gamers, is what Sony has been delivering to their gamers. Now, again, maybe all of Sony's games, or maybe all of Sony's games, aren't your bag of chips. And I'm not going to argue here, but they're my bag of chips. And I do appreciate the quality. And sometimes, like I said, the last couple of releases, not great for Sony. They weren't, you know, they were bitten by the COVID bug like everyone else. They were, you know, not, you know, they still had problems, basically. I have a strong suspicion, folks, that Xbox Game Studios, starting with what's left in this year, obviously Starfield just looks glorious. I mean, who in the chat, and again, we're going to talk about it tomorrow specifically, but I've watched that Starfield Direct 7 times. And you know something? I'd probably watch it another 7 times. That's how hype I am for this game. But I do want to move on to the Avowed conversation, which I can't believe I actually have to come here today and justify what we saw with Avowed. I can't believe that there is journalists, there are regular community members, and of course the trolls. Well, trolls are going to, you know, poop everywhere. That's just what trolls do, right? So when they say something stupid, you're like, nah, it's a troll. But the mere fact that I've seen the word downgraded is shocking to me, Fuzzy. Downgraded from a CGI trailer. Well, I'm all about stats, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, here's Crazy Lou, he's back. Okay. I'm all about stats. So I wanted to bring up, just for conversation pieces, the last 5 games that came out from Obsidian. Right. So I have in front of me, and again, in no specific order, I have the picture, so I don't have them in order. Pillars of Eternity 2, Deadfire, 88 meta. We have The Outer Worlds, currently sitting at an 85 meta. Outer Worlds, pretty damn good open world, first person, story driven game. Well, Pentiment, well, that came out. Again, not so much for me. But you can't argue that it's for somebody. Well, that's sitting at an 88 meta, if meta matters to you. Grounded, for instance. Again, not for Boom, but it's for someone like Colt Eastwood. He plays with his kids. He's raised a kingdom from top to bottom, and he's loved every minute that he's played it. Sitting at an 83 meta. Okay. And the last, but certainly not least, and I never heard of this game because I'm not a PC gamer. It's the lowest of the scores. It was a game called Tyranny that was released only on PC, and that is an 80 meta. So if we were to talk about what goes into making an Obsidian game, we can go back and think of Knights of the Old Republic 2. You can go back and you can think of Fallout. New Vegas. Fallout Vegas. And that was probably one of my favorite of the Fallouts. I know Bethesda would get mad if I said that, but it was one of my favorite Fallouts. And then you add those 5 games I just read to you. Is there any actual real doubt that Avowed is going to deliver? I got to be honest with you. I'm a little taken aback, but, you know, good friend of this program, great friend of the community, who actually, we got to see what he looks like in person because he took a picture with Sarah Bond. I'm talking about Clobriel. He was obviously at the Xbox event. He posted something that I thought was pretty interesting regarding what Obsidian is going to do with this game. So there's been questions, Dave, about graphics. well, it doesn't look, it's a downgrade versus a CGI trailer. I don't understand the correlation, folks. I get if you're on that train, I got to be honest with you. I like you, but you're probably a knucklehead because that's ridiculous. Well, developer Obsidian has responded to these criticisms, and they have confirmed, folks, that they're not even in alpha yet, and it's going to be refined in various ways, according to Clobreal. Lighting will change, and it's going to have the longest alpha and beta period for any game Obsidian has ever put out. Of course, that is good news to me. That's good news to Clobreal. Let's get your hot take on this. Again, game's not even in alpha yet, which tells me that this is holiday of 2024. I think we get Hellblade potentially. Maybe we get Hellblade in the middle. Maybe we don't. But I definitely think we're gonna see Avowed come at the end of the year, and that's perfectly fine. What are your takes on the criticism? Because I don't know what anyone was watching. To me, it looked like an Obsidian game. I know people are like, oh, bent out of shape because it was colorful, but does everything see? And that's the thing, Dave. I really get tired of seeing the comments, well, it should be more like the Elder Scrolls. But that's a Bethesda joint. Why should Obsidian try to match a Bethesda game, and why should a Bethesda try to match an Obsidian game? Aren't they two different studios that do their own thing? I don't know. What are your takes on the criticisms behind what we saw? Because people said they wanted gameplay. Dave, there was a lot of gameplay there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not even an alpha, people. Give me a break. But no, I agree with you 1,000%. It's, it looked great. And it's only going to get better. You know, even Starfield, what we just saw, you know, which was amazing. But wait till it's gold. You know, it's got like 80 more days to cook. And before, you know, probably at least 70, but that before it goes gold. Usually goes gold back 10 days before release, usually. So, yeah, and, you know, there's going to be little tweaks, changes, polishes all the way to the end. And, I mean, to me, it's like it shows the potential of the game, and that's what I wanted to see. I wanted to see how far it's come along, what the actual, you know, the CGI at the beginning was great because it kind of gave you an, you know, ooh, like get your mind going, you know. But then when you see what they showed at the showcase, it was like, ah, you know, now you kind of get more of the idea of what you're going to be doing in the game and your, you know, your viewpoint of the game and what's going to be, you know, what's it going to be about. And that's what we wanted to see. But it's still not, this is how you beat boss number one. And this is, you know, that, yeah, that's still ridiculous. Not what they were, you know, intending to show. You know, they just wanted to give you the idea to get you, you know, to the next level. But the work they've done is amazing so far, and I cannot imagine what it's going to be like when it's all done. And people talking about the color saturation and this and that. My God, those things change, you know. And if they decide they want to make it more colorful or they want to make it more cartoony than realistic, that's their game, and that they'll make it the way they want to make it, and we'll either play it or we won't. I'm looking forward to it, and it's coming to Game Pass. Hello. Game Pass. This is, you know,
yeah. I mean, it's look, everything is coming to Game Pass, especially when it comes to first parties. So, I mean, again, you don't have to play the game. You can download the game. If the game is not for you, folks, not every game is for every game. All right. I say that. And again, the t-shirt's on the way. It's play what you want to play, but there is no issue with you downloading the game and trying something that you maybe you're not into RPGs, maybe you're not into first person RPGs, maybe you know The Witcher is more your type, and this one, because it doesn't have a third person view, isn't your bag. Okay, I hear you, but there's no harm in downloading it. I just think that the gamification, Fuzzy, that is going on with Avowed at this stage by so many people have your opinions, but I don't know how you can try to damn a game before it's even in alpha. about graphics, because I thought the graphics looked fantastic, but the graphics also looked like The Outer Worlds, which was fantastic. So what's the problem? But, you know, I pulled a report of the way of Jez Corden, good friend of this program, great friend of the community. And he has a few things to say. Now, first of all, according to the article that was written, he goes on to say, he goes, in my unofficial preview of the leaked pre-alpha footage, I described the game as sharing more colorful notes than notes we saw in the Outer Worlds. Some fans have taken exceptions with the brighter color palette, which wasn't present in the game's initial reveal with the CGI trailer, nor in the art style of Pillars of Eternity, which is what this encompasses. This game is a story within the Pillars of Eternity world, but normally they're dark and they're brooding, whereas this had some forests that had, like, you know, big, huge color palettes. He goes on to say this, Fuzzy, on a forum called RPG Codex, an apparently verified Obsidian developer going by the name of Briar Dien answered concerns from the community about the game's presentation and scope. And this comes the way of he picked this up from Hazador Gaming on Twitter, which you definitely should be following him. He goes on to say later in the thread, Briar Diem notes that the alpha beta period for Avowed will be the longest the firm has ever had for a game, which mirrors the way Microsoft has treated games like Starfield to focus on polish and refinements. Briar also noted that various things and lighting will be improved in subsequent showings of the title. Now, this quote I'm going to read is directly from Jez Corden himself. And he goes on to say this, Buzzy. The trailer fails to show much of its two-minute runtime. To clear up misconceptions, though, I'll say this. The game is big and it's open. It's unfair to compare it to Outer Worlds. I think Fergus is trying to keep expectations down just in case, which I think it is nothing alike. The studio that did that trailer did some compression on colors and image editing. The screenshots that have been released are much more representative of what the game looks like when it's running, though, and it has a quotation here, there also appear to be totally random shots of the game, and I'm not sure why these were chosen out of all the things, probably, though, to keep spoilers at a minimum. So let's take it to you, Fuzzy. Mm-hmm. What we saw following, obviously, Fable to open up the show was exactly what I was expecting from an Obsidian game. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what I would have wanted from a studio that is considered master class RPG and storytellers. Is this a big enough conundrum for you? Why there's criticism at this stage of the game?
It's kind of weird to me because I know a lot of people were saying, oh, they were hoping it was more like Skyrim, but I preferred how The Outer Worlds was. It was more of a contained story. It wasn't something that's an ongoing 100+ hour type of thing. I mean, you can explore every square inch of all the planets and things like that, as far as and including some of the DLC for The Outer Worlds if you want, and make it 100 hours. But I was hoping more so for a 40-hour type of game. I'm like, Diablo is taking enough of my time, Starfield's going to take enough of my time, and Forza is going to take enough of my time, that I wanted something that I could probably complete in like 40 at max 60 hours. And when I first saw it, I thought it was like believe it or not, I thought it was originally Assassin's Creed when they show him walking off the ship and stuff. But the colorfulness of it mimics what we saw in Outer Worlds, and I'm fine with that. I think the biggest thing is some people were probably expecting it to have more of that darker tone of the CGI trailer. But the main thing for me is the hand gestures, the colorfulness of that. That was the main thing. As long as that's in the game, I'm fine. And it looks like it's not just the magic and swords. It looks like you can have pistols as well. So having that type of variety along with magic and its elementals type stuff, I'm fine. I don't know. It never fails. It seems like some see an Xbox game and they're like, oh, it can't be, it must be CGI, or it can't be real. The game won't look like that. Or why are they going with this, you know, stylized look or caricature? It's a game that may not be for you. If that's the case, if you're looking for something that you thought you saw within the CGI trailer, I can understand it not necessarily being to your expectation, but it doesn't seem like something you should, like, pretty much, you know, throw in the trash can before you even get hands on the game. Like, I think the big thing when it comes to Obsidian is gameplay, the interaction amongst your companions, the RPG elements of it, the story, and different ways of approaching things. That's the most important part when it comes to their games. That was the case when they were doing the South Park game. So I don't understand some of the, you know, outcries or outrage against the overall look, but the look to me was pretty much what I was expecting. Are there going to be darker portions than what we saw in that trailer from the showcase? I'm pretty sure. If you look at, like, when he's facing the skeletons, it looks like there's some sort of fire damage that they're taking when he's swiping at them. So I would say wait until we see more of the game. I don't understand the complaints against color saturation. It's like, if you really want to, you could probably turn that down. But I think it gives it a unique look, especially if you're using powers that each color has a certain element or equals a certain type of effect and things along those lines. So that was pretty much the standout part for me when I first saw the CGI trailer, when he, you know, had the purple ring around his hand and it was like a flamethrower or something along those lines. As long as they have that type of stuff and then I can swipe with a sword in the other hand or have pistols as well, I'm fine. So it's, I think it's just people after, you know, seeing Fable and after and having the narrative that, oh, that can't be real, that's CGI, and that being shut down, and then seeing how Starfield is above and beyond, and I guess the narrative about, oh, well, it's not 60 frames on, you know, next gen, it's a huge ass game. So I think people are like nitpicking to find something that they can, you know, shake a stick at when it comes to Xbox Showcase. I mean, I rated it as a 10 out of 10, and I don't understand the backlash or flack about, you know, colorfulness in a game that's fantasy and Pillars of Eternity world, which does have dark humor, does have, you know, more of a darker tone to it. But that doesn't mean things can't be colorful and still have death and destruction and stuff like that. So I don't know. People are just being weird, I think.
Yeah, I just think that, and this is, I mean, crazy. This could be the case. And I really want to stay laser focused on specifically this game. But it makes me wonder that when you compare shows, because that's how we judge, right? You know, obviously, we look at what Jeff Keighley did, and I gave it a 7. We look at what Sony did, and I would happily give it a 4 because it was just pure garbage outside of Spider-Man. And then we look at what Xbox did, and I gave Xbox's show 11 out of 10 because the first-party development question was answered in spades. Single-player, story-driven, adult narrative games, if we've been asking for, the hashtag just won, we saw in leaps and bounds, right? So I think we're at a point, Fuzzy, where the jealousy, the envy factor of the show being so good, they will say anything to try and give it a negative spin. And again, when you look at the pedigree that, of course, is Obsidian, they don't miss, right? They just don't miss. Mm. What are your thoughts on the criticism of the game being too colorful?
I'm going to say something, Mr. Boomstick. I mean, I'm going to go a little bit on a rant here. Because,
please, rant away,
yes,
brother.
I'm going to rant away just the way I have to rant about this issue. Let's go back to 2013. Let's go back and talk about a little bit Watch Dogs trailer. Let's talk about the Division trailer. Let's talk about all those gameplays we freaking saw. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I was one of those guys, when I saw the Division trailer, I was like, man, I got to go buy this console. Look at this game. This game is awesome. When the game came out, I was like, what is this? What is this? I was like, this is not what what I saw in this trailer. And I'm going to give you another big example. Let's talk a little bit about Forspoken. When you saw that Forspoken trailer, gameplay trailer, yeah, you were like, wow, this is amazing. This is awesome. When the game comes out, I mean, literally, it's not what I saw. I'll say, what the hell
is this? A shell of its former self. Yep.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather Microsoft do this marketing this way. I'd rather see pre-alpha gameplay. I'd rather see pre-gameplay. Same thing with Forza. I don't know if Fuzzy saw the latest Forza video. And people were like grabbing it, like, oh, let's compare it to Gran Turismo. They grab that video, and literally right beneath the video, it says, this is not the last build. This is pre-built, blah, blah, blah. They literally posted under the video. But hey, I'm going to tell you something. What makes me happy about this is that I'm actually seeing the game before, you know, I'm seeing the game like how it's being built. And when I see the after, you know, I'm going to start comparing with the, I'm going to start comparing the before and the after, and I'm going to be really happy with the results, right? I mean, if people weren't happy with the Valve, they were complaining about the colors and everything. And, they come out and say, hey, this game is literally not even alpha. I mean, I can't imagine when they come out with the game and show the game how it's supposed to be built. And I'm happy that Microsoft is doing this thing these ways because, hey, you know, for example, I was watching the Ubisoft showcase and, hey, we all loved Star Wars Outlaws. I saw it. I was like, man, this looks cool. This looks amazing. But me in the inside, when you ask me, hey, did you like the game? I say, yeah, I liked it, but I'm going to wait till it comes out because Ubisoft has fooled me once, but it's not going to fool me again. They have fooled me once with Division. They fooled me twice with Watch Dogs. And no, this time I'm just going to wait till the game comes out. And when I see it after it comes out, watch the gameplay, and I start comparing like, oh, it's pretty much the same thing, then I'll be super happy. But hey, I'm happy Microsoft is doing the way things they are doing with this game. So, I mean, look at Starfield. If we compare this year's Starfield to last year's Starfield gameplay, I mean, it has changed a whole bunch. And we're actually looking on how it looks. Same thing with Halo. Remember when the Halo trailer came out? I mean, you got Craig, the monster, you got all that stuff coming out. And everybody's making fun of that. But when Halo came out, everybody was like, ooh, damn, this is not what I saw, you know? And that's the thing. I'd rather see it like that instead of you guys giving me a full version of the game. When it comes out, it's not what I saw. I mean, literally, that breaks my heart when I see it, you know? That as a game fan, it breaks my heart. So what I'm actually happy is that of what they showed about the whole about thing is they actually show gameplay. They actually show a little bit about the game. Yes, it's a little bit colory. Yes, it's all this. But hey, I mean, they said it's coming down in 2024. We don't know what day it's going to come out in 2024. Still, we don't know that. And they got probably a whole year to either patch things up, make things better, because hey, it's a long way to go. And literally, this game has been in development, I think, since 2018, 2019. And what I saw, I mean, I was really happy with the game. I was like, man, this game looks cool. This game looks awesome. Because, hey, I'm going to tell you something. We all complain about, you know, how it looks. But all of us play Vampire Survivors. And it's not the best graphic game. But we were happy with Vampire Survivors. I mean, we loved how they played. We loved the gameplay. So watching this trailer, I watched it as a fan of gameplay wise instead of, you know, graphic wise, because hey, I know for graphics it's still got a long way to go, and when that comes, I mean, I imagine, and I have my fingers crossed, because hey, like you were saying, you were talking about the scores Obsidian has had. I mean, literally, I think this game is just going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. And I know they're going to pull something off real cool at the end of the day. I know they're going to bring this game up to notch. And I know that the colors and everything is going to change along the way. Because, hey, like he said, this is a pre-alpha game. I imagine this was a pre-alpha footage. I imagine that. And I'm really happy they showed it like this. So when next year comes out, they show more about the game and it actually looks better. I mean, we're going to be with our mouths open. We're like, damn, this is not what we saw last year. Same thing with Starfield. Same thing with Halo. And I'm happy they are doing it this way, because I'd rather see a before and get a better after than getting, you know, like, oh, this is like Forspoken. Oh, look at this. I mean, when we saw Forspoken, we're like, oh, this is awesome. But look how the game came out. It was horrible.
It was horrible.
But yeah, that's my rant on that, on the whole about issue. So like what Fuzzy said and what Mr. Webb Day said and what you've been saying, Mr. Boomstick, let's wait till the game comes out. Let's see more about it. I mean, don't just misjudge it right now. I mean, okay, for you all, look a little bit off, okay. But I'm actually happy that I saw gameplay about it. And I know this is not the final game. And everybody was judging this like, this is the final game. It's not the final game.
Which is crazy. I mean, yeah. Look, I'll say this. let's say for shits and giggles, folks, that this is a holiday game. Say it's their October or November game. And I'm no mathematician by any stretch of the truth, but folks, we're still in June of 2023. If this game comes out, and let's just say, again, for shits and giggles, October of 24, that's almost 18 months, folks. You don't think that they're going to have everything sewn up? I mean, Obsidian is going to have it all ready to rock and roll the same way. Perfect example is, look how different Starfield is. And how amazing Starfield looks, and how hype everyone is for Starfield. I mean, I cannot begin to tell you. So when, again, Obsidian, masters of the RPG element, says they're going to make a game in the Pillars of Eternity that is not isometric, like Baldur's Gate or like Diablo, and they're giving us a first-person narrative RPG that offers magic and weapons and even guns, I am all in on it for sure. But look, at the end of the day, I want to welcome in nearly 500 people here. If you're finding the channel for the first time, I ask you consider subscribing. Folks, we are under 400 away from 13K. And if you appreciate the dedication that goes into these shows, and I do this 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, all different shows, all different panels, all great content. And what we do here at Double Barrel Gaming is we don't sell hate. We don't sell narratives to get your click, to get your like, to get your sub. It's just content. And it's good content, and it's fair, and it's clear as glass. There's no shenanigans here. So if you are finding the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing. And of course, if you're here, folks, for the love of Joe, hit the like button. But I do want to move on to a story that I find to be incredibly important. And that is something that comes the way of Matt Booty, folks. Because Matt Booty, well, he has played Perfect Dark. And he had some pretty interesting things to say about what he played. Now, again, I pulled this story from purexbox.com. It was written by Liam Doolin. And this was posted on Friday, and the headline topic or the headline conversation we're going to have is Xbox's Matt Booty has played the Perfect Dark reboot and is very excited about it. He can't wait for fans to see it. So, of course, I'm going to read some quotes. I'm going to read a little bit of the article. But if you didn't know, right, Perfect Dark is a game that was originally launched on the N64. Way back in the days, it was, you know, during the Rare days. This was coming off the heels of GoldenEye, and I never really played the original, but I loved GoldenEye. And obviously, we saw a sequel that was done by Rare that didn't hit as hard as I think Rare would have wanted on the Xbox 360, and the IP has laid dormant since. Now, obviously, in 2018, when Microsoft made all of these acquisitions, they also announced that they were bringing to the table the Initiative, which was the first studio of its kind that was considered, you know, quadruple A. And that was because of the talent and the money that was going to go into development of this game. Obviously, we know that we saw a lot of people leave the Initiative. The way that they created the studio was an ideology, is they would get all of these grand minds of video game making, put them into a room and say, get crazy. And unfortunately, when you put a lot of chiefs in one room, it doesn't leave room for a game to develop, because everybody wants to be in charge. Everybody wants to be the chief. Everybody wants to be the president. Everybody wants to be the head honcho making the decision. And that didn't fare well. So what wound up happening is Microsoft sought the help of Crystal Dynamics, who are now currently owned by Embracer Group, which we might see Crystal Dynamics come on home after the ABK deal, right along with Eidos Montreal and maybe that Tomb Raider IP. But, you know, that's wishful thinking. And we know that they're hard at work, not only on the next Tomb Raider, they're working on Perfect Dark. Now, I don't know how many people in the chat of 500 plus people we have here have an affiliation or an affection for Joanna Dark as a character. But I think that when you consider the character itself in nature, when it comes to her gadgets and the first person nature of the story that's being told, I'm very excited to see this IP revived with, of course, next generation graphics. And I'm going to read a couple of quotes from, of course, Matt Booty, who really showed off what he's been up to behind the scenes with this year's showcase. He says, "I've played builds. I look at it, and I'm very excited for people to see what they're doing." Now, obviously, this, according to the story, this is only a brief update, but it's nice to know that development of the game is still processing, especially considering the fiscal troubles that Embracer Group are in. And we saw an update from Crystal Dynamics specifically talking about Perfect Dark and that everything is good. They're working on it. There's no interruption. There's no loss of staff because we know that they had to lay off a lot of people over Embracer Group due to a handshake deal that did not go well for them. I don't know who the handshaker was, but I don't think it was Microsoft because, well, they don't do that. They do work in contracts. So I don't know whoever it was that backed out of the deal, but it hurt Embracer Group in a bad way. What it didn't hurt is the development of this game via Crystal Dynamics and, of course, the initiative who is still working on the game. Web Dave, again, this is a brief update, but where does your personal excitement level go when you start talking about Perfect Dark? Because, again, this is an IP that's going to be very new to a lot of people, but it is a spy first-person shooter that uses gadgets. And, again, I know it's a first-person shooter, but I think we're going to get something special here. I think we're going to get something that is unusual. I think that Crystal Dynamics are an incredibly talented studio that I kind of wish eventually joins XGS. Did you play the original or did you play the 360 version of Perfect Dark? And where is your excitement level knowing that Matt Booty has played it and he is very excited to see what people think when it releases maybe 2025?
I'm very excited about it. I mean, this is the original game was kind of built on the back of GoldenEye. You know, it had that same kind of, you know, feel about it, which was a fantastic game, the original Perfect Dark, and then the next one that came out, and it was just you know, we all wanted these games to continue, and then to find out that they're working on one that's next gen, oh my gosh, that's awesome. And from, you know, the team that, you know, brought such great games as Tomb Raider, you know, I mean, so you kind of, if you kind of imagine, you know, what would a Tomb Raider type maybe mechanics, but then with all the, you know, cool gadgets and abilities of Joanna Dark, that man, it's very exciting. It's a game I'm looking forward to. Hearing him talk about it, it's like, you know, the future is so bright for Xbox, and to know that we have a clear path of things that are going to be dropping year after year to continue to grow. And there's more things in the works that we have no idea about. And there's things that are, you know, that are behind the scenes that they're working on that we just have no idea about at all, that, you know, to continue the flow, because Phil wants to get that, you know, a AAA release in Game Pass a quarter. And this is going to go, you know, right in line with that. So at some point I anticipate that it will be, you know, dropped in 2025 with everything else that we seem to have planned for even 2024 and the rest of this year. Yeah, I'm cool with that. Like I said, I'd rather a game get what it needs and be great instead of, let's face it, half-assed and, you know, not quite there and, oh, we'll finish it after it's released. You know, those days, we need to put those far behind us. So, and with the acquisition just about complete, you know that there's going to be lots of fill, lots of pull lots of other great franchises that are just start dropping in into place. And in, you know, the acquisitions aren't done yet. So with that, they're going to continue to grow and put everything into place. But Perfect Dark for me, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the hell out of the first one and the second one. I think that the potential, you know, even in the CGI little trailer they did, just the little glimpses of, you know, of the modern day espionage type thing that they can come up with, you know, the quote unquote female Bond kind of thing, you know, is like, that's going to be, it's going to be so badass. It, like I said, the potential is there for it to be a monster game and, you know, action game for sure. And that's, you know, we're all hoping for that, I believe. And whether it's third person, first person, both, you know, most likely it's, you know, going to be a first person type with maybe some third person elements in it. I don't know. It just kind of depends, but it's, I don't know. I think it's going to be the kind of game that we want and that the Xbox needs. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm real excited for it for sure. And I know you are too.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, what I think excites me about Xbox Game Studios is not just a bunch of dude bro shooters, right? Like each, yeah, you know, they're gonna. I think the most important thing for me is seeing a variety of range of games. Now, again, like for instance, you know, if you are someone that appreciates RTS type of games, like Pong Soul, for instance, who's a huge fan of it, they're not my bag. But the fact that they're in and coming to the service that I pay $15 a month that offers a wide variety of different experiences is incredibly important. Something like Perfect Dark that gives me a first-person shooter that celebrates a character that has not been relevant in decades, folks, right? Being brought to modern consoles to tell a modern story with modern visuals is exactly what I'm into. But, you know, Fuzzy, I want to bring you into the conversation. I kind of want to just bring in the CEO of Crystal Dynamics, because a couple of months ago, he had spoken, actually a couple of months ago, it was last year he was interviewed, where he says, you know, because there was that big, you know, concern for the development of Perfect Dark. And he goes on to say, Xbox's Perfect Dark, according to the story that was written by Fraser Gilbert, of course, this is purexbox.com. Xbox's Perfect Dark reboot going extremely well, according to Crystal Dynamics' CEO. And this is what they had to say. Speaking this week as a part of the Embracer earnings call, which was from last year, thanks to VGC, Crystal Dynamics CEO Phil Rogers had some very positive things to say about the progress of Perfect Dark, revealing that the project is coming along extremely well. Now, of course, this is on the heels of the story that we led off with, but this is what he had to say, Fuzzy. We're working on the iconic Perfect Dark game, and the project is going extremely well. What's been so promising internally is seeing how our team took this opportunity, a new way of working. If we think about the future of how we work, collaboration across studios, across time zones, across geographics, across different companies, will all become more commonplace. So it's great to see the team at the initiative and our team across Crystal Dynamics working so well together to bring Perfect Dark to reality. So again, two different stories, two different years. And again, if you're going based on, I don't know, Matt Booty saying he's excited, well, the last time I recall, Matt Booty said he was excited and he was begging for someone to show something. It was Fable. And boy, oh boy, Fable slapped so hard. There are people in this chat, in this community, that think that it's a farce what we saw. So if Matt Booty is saying that he can't wait for people to see this, he said the same thing about Fable. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's great to hear. One of the things I think they had talked about early on, and I don't know that this is 100% going to be the case, but they made mention of like a body cam possible viewpoint. And I know we saw like that clip from that new studio that's making Unbound or some sort of like body cam video, like cop game or something.
Yeah, it's like a police game with the body cam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would like to see, like, if he's saying he's excited and it's probably going to be a new perspective as far as body cam games or kind of new genre to like the first person shooter. And with this being kind of like a first person shooter slash spy and stealth all mixed into one, this is going to be hopefully along the lines of like a Splinter Cell kind of game, where you can have the stealth aspect of it. You can go guns blazing, as well. You can use gadgets and things along those lines, almost like James Bond. But I would have to say, considering the pedigree of Crystal Dynamics, we're not going to talk about Avengers. That was something that they were kind of forced to make. But when you look at the Tomb Raider games and how great they made those, as far as, even though it wasn't quite an open world, it was more of a linear, but you had different like paths or avenues you could take as far as approaching objectives and things along those lines. I can't wait to see what this game is like. And sure, when the executives say that they're excited, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt, but I like what I saw as far as for South of Midnight. I like what I saw for Fable. And I wasn't one that played the original Fable games. And knowing somebody that worked on it, they were like, you're not going to believe it when you see it. They couldn't, you know, obviously NDAs, they can't talk too much about it. But I always assumed that, you know, Playground Games would be able to do like a great environment and maybe stylized characters. And they blew us away with like almost photorealistic setup for both the environment and the character. So I would say Crystal Dynamics is probably going to surprise a lot of people as well. Even just looking back at like Tomb Raider, as far as the level of detail, like that was one of those games that really shined on the Xbox One X last gen. And now that they're going to be working with the series consoles and this being a series only game or yep. a series console only game, I can only imagine where they could take it from there as far as the fidelity and the overall look. But I'd never worried about this whole deal. Like when they talked about the initiative, and it's funny that they're kind of called the initiative. It's like to start something or to take it upon yourself to start, you know, a project or something along those lines. The assumption was, well, maybe they, you know, start the project and then hand it off to another studio. Well,
that was the ideology behind what the initiative was supposed to do. That's how it was explained. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's how it's going to continue moving forward. Their minds come together. Mm-hmm. They have an IP. They start the groundwork. They call in team. Okay, boom, team comes in and they finish it off and it's hands off. They move on to a next project. At least that's how it was sold to us. And I think that's what they're still doing.
Yeah, and the concern for it, it's like, okay, we haven't seen it. I can understand some people saying, oh, well, we saw it like in 2020 and we haven't heard anything since. Well, part of that was selling the brand or selling the console, giving you the hopes and dreams, much like what console makers do. It's like showing you that roadmap of games coming down the line. But it's been in development for like 3 years. Crystal Dynamics is at the helm. Just based on their previous stuff, it's going to look great. It's not geared to be a live service game, so we don't have to worry about the Avengers aspect. But I would say it's going to be one of those that we probably see at the next showcase, or maybe even later in the year, or, you know, the Game Awards where it made its debut. So I'm not going to worry about it until it shows gameplay and the gameplay doesn't look fun. Then at that point, I might have some concern. But in the meantime, I have full confidence in Crystal Dynamics. It's kind of weird what Embracer's going through right now, kind of hoping this ABK deal gets wrapped up so maybe they can be acquired so you don't have to worry about, you know, whatever Embracer may have to do in the long term with that studio. But, I would have to believe that Matt Booty is not going to try and say that he's excited for a game only to have, you know, us enthusiasts on Twitter, you know, dragging him through the coals when it's like, you were excited over this. And it's, no, we haven't heard him say things like that, like you said, and except for like for Fable, and Fable definitely showed way above what people's expectations were. So
yep,
I would expect the same from Crystal Dynamics and the initiative on this game.
I absolutely agree. For Crazy Lou, I want to bring you in on the conversation. One of the things I think that we're starting to see come together for Xbox Game Studios and first-party development is that there's no rush to get the game to launch that needs a day one patch that's double the size of its original download, right? We're starting to see the fruition of the Phil Spencer dream of one per quarter, of Matt Booty's one per quarter AAA game. Now, again, not every game is going to be for you, but they're all going to be AAA quality games that are expected at from first party per quarter. And in compensation with that is to add the second party deals and the third party deals and elevating indies to levels that we've never seen before. And that formula is something we saw Sony for many, many years due to great succession. Well, I pulled another story speaking of Matt Booty and specifically when we can expect to see something like a Perfect Dark or even State of Decay 3. And of course, I pulled the story from GamingBolt.com. It was written by Subhankar Purjat, and it was posted on the 14th of June. And the lead title, folks, says Perfect Dark and State of Decay 3 are on track for gameplay deep dives within the next 18 months, according to Matt Booty. And it's interesting because he goes on to say this, as I look ahead to 2024, everything that we're going to ship, I've even seen builds of, like very recently or played them, Booty said. I've said this before, there is so much stuff in Fable where when I get with Turn 10 studio head Alan Hartman, I'm just like, why don't you show this? And he goes, no, because there's a lot of cool stuff that doesn't, cool stuff in the game that I'm excited about. But he specifically talks about Perfect Dark as I think ahead even to when we get to 2025. We've seen builds of the games at the initiative. I know just because Undead Labs are in the Seattle area, what's going on with State of Decay 3. We've seen these things. So far, I look ahead to the next 18 months in terms of what we're going to be able to show and deliver and do that kind of gameplay reveal. I'm cautionarily confident because the teams are hard at work and they get that. That's the kind of bar now, which is let's show up with gameplay and do a deeper dive when we show up. So we could expect to see something in the next 18 months for a game that's expected to release in 2025, a la Perfect Dark. When you hear all of this, are you excited to see what they're going to do with this game? Especially, and again, he's a rah-rah guy, right? Matt Booty works for Xbox. He's not going to say, well, this game sucks. But again, go by track record. The last time we heard from Booty, pun intended, or pause for some people in the chat, he talked about when you guys see, you're going to be amazed. Well, we saw Fable, and there are people still arguing whether or not it's real gameplay. I think we're going to see the same thing with Perfect Dark. What do you think, Crazy Lou Gaming?
Same here. I mean, he said 18 months, so pretty much what it's telling me is for the next June showcase, because, hey, we're 18 months away from here to June. So for the next big June showcase, Xbox is going to show us Perfect Dark, which is really good news. I mean, I'm really happy about it, really excited about it. I mean, I heard him talk. I think it was Phil, or was it him? I think it was Phil or him. I don't remember. But I think Phil, a couple months ago, talked about State of Decay 3 that I think he played a little bit about it. I think he mentioned it. I could be wrong. I think it was Phil or Matt. I don't remember which one it was, but he was talking about it. And that was something I was actually waiting for this showcase. You know, I was like, hey, are we going to see gameplay for State of Decay 3? Are we going to see something up for Perfect Dark? And I'm really happy because here's something that they miss out a lot, and that's communication. And I'm really happy that they're actually doing more communication with us, the fans, and they're telling us things that we want to know. And I'm happy he actually came out and said, hey, in 18 months, you guys are going to see Perfect Dark. You guys are going to see gameplay of State of Decay, which really, as a fan, I'm super excited. And hearing about the development about that game, you know, I mean, oof, just some things that I heard from Gaz talking about, but, you know, like they're going to have like a camera type view thing for first person action shooter. And he was just talking about, I was really amazed just hearing, you know, stuff he was mentioning about that that game could show and that game can do. And actually it's I think it's going to do in a first person, like a change, like how we play first person shooters. It's probably going to do like a new evolution thing. So fingers crossed that it's actually true, and fingers crossed that all that stuff goes through. And man, them coming out and say 18 months, cannot wait to June, man. June is just going to be big. Just hearing about Perfect Dark instead of Decay 3, and probably, of course, more about Fable, because we can't leave that out of the line. But yeah, oof, it's going to be intense. It's going to be intense.
Well, I mean, listen, we do know that Microsoft has said, literally on the couch with Giant Bomb, that even though if you didn't see something, there are still several shows. What are those shows? Well, there's the Tokyo Game Show, there's GamesCon, and of course, at the end of the year, there's the Jeff Keighley event. I look forward to the Game Awards each and every year, and I think that maybe Microsoft shows something there. All I know is that if you consider the year that Microsoft is having, again, the one blip on the map is Redfall. Play it, don't play it. Hate on it if you want. It was an incomplete game, and they're well aware of that. Mm-hmm. But that showcase forecasted for an Xbox fans who have been through it, right? We've taken the arrows quite a bit. That showcase, if it did anything for you as an Xbox fan, it showed you that the future for first party is extremely bright. The cherry on top of that is a 45-minute deep dive into Starfield, which looked amazing, and I cannot wait to talk about that in real depth tomorrow with Skullzy TV and the crew over at the Xbox Factor podcast. And, of course, closing ABK, seeing Forza release, Starfield release, end of the year. It's going to be quite an exciting time to be an Xbox gamer for sure. But listen, folks, that is going to do it. We had over 500 people tune in on a day that I didn't expect even half that, because everyone's on vacation. People are just still enjoying their time with their friends and family on the extra day off on the back end of the weekend. But we're going to get to the outros, and we're going to start first with the man on the camera, Fuzzy Belvedere. Look at this handsome man. What's going on, brother? Thanks so much for not only being here, but you're finally on freaking camera. This is awesome.
Thank you. Oh, it was awesome being here with you guys, and always awesome talking about all the stuff in the gaming space and news and all the Xbox showcase stuff. That was awesome. And everybody in the chat, thank you guys for attending. And for those who catch us on replay, greatly appreciate you taking the time. Don't forget to hit that like button while you're here. But for those that want to hear my endless rambles and rants on anything gaming related, it's easy to just follow me on Twitter at @Fuzzy_Belvedere. You can also find me on FSP later on tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Fun Speculations channel. And then you can find me right back here on Double Barrel Gaming on Friday morning at 10 a.m. for Breakfast with Boom. Look forward to seeing you there.
And real quick, shout out to Jacob Novick, who's always here. He reminded me there's also QuakeCon, which could be one of those events. I mean, I don't know. Call me a lunatic, but if they're going to show off a new Quake based on the engine that brought us both Doom Reboot, well, the Doom Reboot, and of course, the second, the follow-up, that would be pretty dope on top of that. And we know that Hexen is probably coming, thanks to Phil Spencer wearing the shirt. There are so many games coming out. It's bonkers, and it's so exciting to be an Xbox fan. But Web Dave, sell your brand. Obviously, you had an amazing show last night with Retri, as you do on Sundays. You also have an interview today with, so you can break down who she is, who Red Panda is, and how exciting it was to talk to her. And more importantly, where could people reach out to you on social media?
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Web Dave and Twitter, at Web Dave, if you want to find me there and talk to me and chat with me. So yeah, it's some good interviews I've had. I got another interesting one coming next week. We'll see how that goes. It was a good interview, but it may be a little controversial. We will see. That's next week's interview. We'll talk more about that later. yeah. And then, but no, the interview I had with Red Dead Panda. She's awesome. Lots of cool insight on her. And she'd even be good on here, man, because she can talk. And she's from the future. So that's the best thing about it. So she is actually, you know, a lot of people change their Xbox to meet the time zone so they can play games, download them early. Well, she is from there where she actually gets them early. So that was pretty cool talking to her about that as well. So, yeah, so it's good. Thank you so much for letting me on here. It's awesome having Fuzzy on camera, and this better not be his last time on camera. He better be making it a permanent fixture. The handsome one. Look at him. Oh, I think you need to put him in the highlight screen, right?
Trying to type to the chat. So, welcome, Sergeant Gaming. And of course, I hit the wrong button, as I always do. But yeah, good stuff as always, Dave. Glad that you're doing well. Glad that your video from last night with, and again, that they had a little bit of rough waters. And, you know, again, there's nothing worse as a host is having all of your pins lined up. And then they start foiling like dominoes. You're like, what am I going to do? But it worked out for you. And that particular show has over 1,000 views and well-deserved. And listen, we're here for it. And again, if you are someone that's not following either Fuzzy Belvedere, Web Dave, or Crazy Lou, folks, I'm here to tell you, you're doing it wrong. But speaking of Crazy Lou Gaming, Xbox International Podcast is doing well. You guys hit over 1,000 subscribers earlier this year. Congratulations on that. Yes, now it's time to hit 5,000 subscribers. Get that goal boost up. Talk about it. Where can people subscribe to the Xbox International Podcast? But more importantly, reach out to you on social media and see some of your crazy antics.
Oh, simple and easy. You can find me at Crazy Louie Gaming on Twitter, where I say good morning, do all sorts of crazy stuff. Also on Tuesdays, playing with Crazy on the Xbox International Podcast channel, you know, where I'm playing scary games, guys. You know, you can jump on there, watch me get scared, you know, watch me get, you know, freaked out and stuff. Really, people just enjoy watching me just jump off the chair and everything. And at Wednesdays, find me at the Xbox International Podcast with Salvo, the Big Plume, and Silent Cypher. And this week, we have an awesome guest called the Phantom Kraken. Man, I cannot wait to sit down and have a talk, an awesome conversation with that cool, awesome fellow. And also, Fridays, we have the Xbox International Podcast en Español over there, the Xbox International Podcast Español channel with ASCAP Gaming, and, oh, man, Eternal Shaddai. And like always, you guys can find me here on Mondays hanging out with you guys, which I'm really, like always, saying thank you to you, Mr. Boom, for having me on here. It's always so much fun hanging out with you here on the Xbox Launch Week Special at noon. And chat, you guys are awesome. I love you all. You guys rock. Happy to see that you guys hang out with us each and every single Monday.
Well, thank you for being a part of this show, brother. Definitely appreciate that. And, of course, we want to see the Xbox International Podcast continue to grow. And, folks, listen, everyone's links for Fuzzy, for Crazy, and, of course, Web Dave, everyone's links are there. Two clicks, you're in. And if you want to be generous, you click to get in, click to sub, and, of course, click the bell icon. So every time one of these amazing content creators produces content, you are notified so you can go check it out. And, of course, I want to say a big thank you to everyone taking the time to be here. And I'm going to close out the show, folks, with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me with kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, Craig. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. We'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.